Busy weekend ahead. Hawkeyes head to Evanston to take on the Wildcats in 11 a.m. kickoff at Ryan Field tomorrow. We'll break it all down for you here on KGY. More details about that coming up in just a bit. Cyclones are in Lubbock to take on Texas Tech. We'll have that for you on 1600 a.m. tomorrow as well. And you and I back home in the Uni Dome getting ready to take on Bo Pelini and Youngstown State. Well, I would start off with the Cubs talk here, but I've got to hand it to your brothers, Memphis Tigers, for making that game entertaining last night with 21 fourth-quarter points, a come-from-behind victory, and Memphis looks like it's going to stick around the top 25 for a while.
Well, at least for this week, and it went from being as bad as it could be in the first half, scoring 0 points, to as good as it can be in the second half, scoring 6 touchdowns on 5 possessions in the second half, including a kick return for a touchdown. Just an unbelievably gritty effort in the second half. Despite the defense struggling a little bit, they found a way to win that game on the road. They beat two of the top teams in the conference in the span of 5 days. So all smiles today. And, I'm ready to talk a little bit about the NLCS as well. I wanted to see the Cubs stick around a little bit longer. But this was a team.
No, you didn't. Come on, admit it.
No, this was a team.
There's not a Cardinals fan alive that wanted to see the Cubs keep winning games.
I wanted to see the NLCS go a little bit longer. But the like you said, like Joe Madden said, the better team ended up winning. And as we'll talk about in Love It or Leave It, this is going to be a huge, huge offseason for the Chicago Cubs, who have a few things to work out and a few holes to plug, especially in that pitching rotation. Starters and relievers.
So I walk in the door last night when I get home, and I stuck around the office. I had some work to do last night, so by the time I got home, it was already 2-0. The Dodgers were up. And my wife and I went upstairs. We had to give our son a bath and get him ready for bed. And we're coming down the stairs, and I was just sort of, you know, being my usual self, and I was talking to my son, and I said, well, let's go downstairs and find out whether it's 3-0 yet, or maybe it's even 4-0 yet. And we got to the bottom of the stairs, and I turned the corner, and my wife was coming behind me, and I said out loud, oh, no, it's 7-0. And she didn't believe me. She thought I was being facetious. I said, no, it's actually 7-0 right now. So it was a long, slow burn on the couch last night watching that game. But other than the solo home run by Chris Bryant, and again, everything came via solo home runs or home runs for the Cubs in the National League Championship Series. They just didn't do a good enough job of manufacturing runs. You've got to tip your cap. Kike Hernandez had a tremendous game last night. 3 home runs. Clayton Kershaw, this is what he needs on his resume. The final act of a great career, which we're still in the midst of. But what would you have said when Clayton Kershaw retired, if he retired, and hadn't made a World Series appearance? There would have been a major, major hole there. And he's going to get an opportunity to pitch now on the biggest stage in baseball. And I'll tell you what, this is great for Major League Baseball. It would have been great to have the Cubs there as well, but this is going to be great with the Dodgers, and either the Yankees or the Astros will find out soon enough. And how cool is it that you got a guy from Cedar Rapids, Iowa, who is basically the controlling owner of the Dodgers, and Mark Warner, a 1978 Cedar Rapids Jefferson graduate who was featured prominently on that broadcast last night, whether you saw him during the game or afterwards when Tommy Lasorda was absentmindedly walking in front of the TV cameras. That's just a great story. And I know Mike Haas from the Cedar Rapids Gazette tried to contact him in 2012 to do a piece on him, and he seems like a very private guy and a very busy guy. He doesn't do a whole lot of media interviews, but that's really awesome to see such a local connection to the World Series. And I got to admit, that Dodgers team is fun to watch. I know the fun police are out complaining about Yasiel Puig and some of his antics, but again, it's good for baseball. And Clayton Kershaw and the Dodgers, I think, are going to represent the National League quite well. And then from the other aspect, as the Chicago Cubs go into the offseason, and we'll talk about this coming up throughout the program today, lots of question marks as to what the future holds for guys like Jake Arrieta, who most likely is going to be allowed to walk off into the sunset and sign with another team. John Lackey's future, whether or not he's going to retire or not, and what you can do to address maybe some glaring holes in the bullpen and those openings in the rotation, and maybe make that lineup a little bit better as well. Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer are going to have their hands full this offseason. We want to hear from you on the Hertin and Stocker text line, though. 319-366-1600. Hertin and Stocker located here in Iowa City as well at 101 South Dubuque Street, downtown on the Ped Mall, in business for 70 years. And I know the Dickens family's probably taken last night's loss pretty hard, too, because they're big Cubs fans. So stop on in and tell them that you heard about them on KGYM.
One thing that we really, I mean, we've talked about it, but I guess all the focus during the series and during pretty much the entire postseason has been on the pitching staff of the Chicago Cubs, whether it's the starters or the relievers struggling to throw strikes and struggling to get people out. There's been a lot of talk as well about the offense and or the lack thereof. I mean, you think about last year's team, and what was this year's postseason run missing? I asked you yesterday, does this team need more on-base guys? You look at Ben Zobrist, what he did last year in the playoffs. You see what David Ross did. They had Dexter Fowler. Do they need to go out in the offseason and get a top-of-the-lineup type guy or a guy that can get on base? Because there's no question that this team not necessarily relies on it, but is aided by the home run ball. They hit a lot of home runs, and most of the home runs that they hit during the playoffs were solo shots. So it felt like that all year, and I think you guys hit on it. The not having Dexter Fowler at the top of the lineup felt like a huge void that this team never really felt like, despite the fact that they scored the most runs in the league in the second half of the season, never really got over that hump.
6439 on the text line. I was finally able to take work off and go to my first Cubs postseason game last night. I got rear-ended on the way there in traffic, left disappointed after the eighth inning, got home at 3 in the morning, and was up at 6 for work. I've had better days. Look, I was at Game 4 of the World Series last year, which was about as morose as you could possibly get at a Cubs World Series game, and things turned around there. That was tough to watch last night, and the only thing I could think about sitting there and watching it unfold was they absolutely deserved what they got in that series. And if you remember right at the beginning, I said the Dodgers in 5, and
you were right.
It turned out to be fairly accurate. Whoever was going into that series was going to be a little bit behind the eight ball just because of the way that the Game 5 of the NLDS played out with the Nationals. And speaking of, we've got news on the Washington front as well today. Dusty Baker out after 3 years as the Nationals manager. That franchise, since its move to Washington, D.C., has not had a manager for more than 3 full seasons. And they've had some good ones there, including Dusty Baker. I will say he is a good manager, especially during the regular season. I just don't think he's great. But Dusty Baker, it sounds as if there was a mix-up between the front office ownership and the front office and general manager Mike Rizzo, who wanted to bring Dusty Baker back for another year, but this was the Nationals ownership saying that a change needed to be made. So we got Ron Gardenhire yesterday, and that is official, announced today, the new manager of the Detroit Tigers. A couple clubs still looking for their new manager, and now another one in line with the Washington Nationals. So lots of baseball news to get to today. Football news as well. Green Bay officially putting Aaron Rodgers on injured reserve. No surprise there. And lots of football to talk about coming up in hour number 3 of the program tonight, as well as the Hawkeyes get ready to head to Evanston to take on the Northwestern Wildcats. 319-366-1600. Stop on in and join us here. Again, we're at the Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City. Happy hour started at 3 o'clock. It goes until 7. $2.50 domestic bottles, $2 domestic pints. Beautiful day out there right now. I haven't looked too far ahead on the forecast, but I have a feeling days like this are probably numbered at this point.
I was going to say that we should enjoy it while it's here, but Todd, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you, did you catch Lonzo Ball's NBA debut last night? I mean, we've been talking about LeVar all summer because it's just one of those things that a lot of people can't take their eyes away from. And let's just say a humbling start to his NBA career for the number 2 overall pick.
I didn't see the final line, but I saw enough people talking about it on Twitter last night and social media to know that it probably wasn't very good. And then, of course, the LeVar Ball hot takes were coming fast and furious today as well, because as we all know, one game makes your entire career.
Yes, it does. Obviously...
So stupid.
Obviously it doesn't, but LeVar Ball came out after the game, and you think, okay, well, his son just got kicked around the floor for 60 minutes, or 48 minutes, excuse me, however long an NBA game is. You'd think he would, this time, be quiet. I don't know why I thought that, but I thought, okay, Patrick Beverley completely dominated Lonzo Ball. LeVar Ball will have nothing to say, but of course he had something to say. He comes out after the game and says, Patrick Beverley who? Well, if Patrick Beverley is a guy in the NBA who is irrelevant, then what does that make Lonzo at this point? I just can't see a way that this ends well.
Again, I was an NBA fan for about 6 minutes on opening night, and then when Gordon Hayward broke his ankle, I was done with this. But you made a great point earlier today when we were talking in the office about it's not just Lonzo Ball. It's most of these young kids who go to the NBA and way too early. There's no way to develop them. There's no true minor league system. You can say whatever you want to about the G League, but he's not the only guy who's going to be underperforming for a while. And it's either go out there and underperform and have on-the-job training, or it's sit on the bench where your game doesn't get any better and your skills actually grow a little bit of rust and you can't sharpen them up. It's sort of a no-win situation, and those guys that are good enough to just jump right into the NBA and have success from day one, they're few and far between nowadays. But you've got the sideshow aspect around the Ball family, and we've certainly talked about it, and they've dissected it ad nauseum on the national ESPN platforms. And I get that, and I just, it's unfortunate that people are hating on this kid because of his father, but they were talking about it on the Lebatard show today, people calling LeVar Ball a bad dad. And he certainly seems like a pretty good dad. His kids like him. And if my son likes me half as much as they appear to like their father, then I think he's doing an okay job. But, that's about all I've got to say about Lonzo Ball and the Lakers, which it's going to take a lot more than Lonzo Ball to turn that franchise's fortunes around.
Well, see, the normal 19-year-old kid comes into the league and is in anonymity. I mean, you look at what D'Angelo Russell did in his first year for the Lakers. He was awful. He was not good enough to play. He was a child. Not good enough to play in the NBA, but he didn't have that target on his back. He didn't get scrutinized. You think about the normal number one over or two overall pick. They go to Philadelphia. They're sitting on the bench. They're getting minutes. They're getting minutes off the bench, possibly, and they're kind of easing their way into the NBA. But this kid is going to be different for many different reasons. A, he's in Los Angeles under the spotlight. B, his father. C, his father has put a big target on his back from pretty much every other player in the NBA. You can say what you want about the media, because to a certain extent he has brought a media circus with it. But if I were him, I would be much more worried about the target that he has put on his son's back, which was clearly apparent by Patrick Beverley, who is one of the more ferocious defensive players in the NBA, and he showed it last night. He was, let's just say, before the game, he knew who he was going to be guarding last night.
And I think a lot of people were wondering maybe we would see a walk-off last night. It didn't come in the National League Championship Series. It came in Thursday Night Football. Derek Carr tossing a touchdown pass on the final play of the game as the Raiders came from behind to beat the Chiefs 31-30. And what becomes now of the Kansas City Chiefs off to that great start and have hit a little bit of a road bump here. But still a very good team. Kareem Hunt over 1,000 yards from scrimmage so far. Clearly the leader in the clubhouse for Rookie of the Year honors right now, and a big weekend of NFL games on tap as well. You'll hear many of them here on KGYM. Always want to remind you, check out the website, kgymradio.com, where you will find the upcoming broadcast schedule. And it is in flux, especially because we don't know whether there's going to be a baseball game tomorrow night or not. So it could possibly be the Yankees and the Astros, or you may get some college football. It just depends on what happens in Game 6 of the American League Championship Series. 424, we've got a Midwest One Bank Big Board update on the way, plus your texts and phone calls as we get to Myron Metcalf at the bottom of the hour. 319-366-1600. It's the Todd Brolkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, taking you up until 7 o'clock tonight during the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire. We're here at the Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City. Stop on in and say hi. We'll be back after a quick timeout. Don't go anywhere.
When you're looking for a new pair of glasses, it's nice to have a pair of locations to choose from. That's why McDonald Optical has two Iowa City locations. Stop and see McDonald Optical in their brand new space next to Panera, inside the Iowa City Marketplace on the east side of town. Or come to their tried and true store on South Clinton Street downtown. Schedule an eye exam with one of their excellent doctors. And find your next pair of glasses at one of McDonald Optical's pair of Iowa City stores. McDonald Optical. Eyewear as individual as you.
We're changing things up at Chili's. Even our song is changing.
Our old song was baby back, baby back, baby back. It was about ribs because that was our thing.
Everything's getting an update.
Our new menu is totally different. We made your favorite things a lot bigger.
We made our new burger half a pound. That's much bigger.
And the ribs are 30% bigger. The fajitas are way bigger too.
48% actually. But that's like impossible to sing.
I don't know. Maybe just let me try it. The fajitas have 48% more fajitas.
Mm-hmm. Oh baby, Chili's is back.
Baby back, baby back.
This is Iowa. Winter doesn't mean it's time to take a break. It means working smarter on your job site. Star Equipment knows that, and they're ready to rent the gear you need for concrete curing, pipe warming, and frost prevention, along with top-notch ground-thawing equipment. Lost time means lost dollars, but the cold won't stop your project when you work with Star Equipment. They don't take a break in winter either. Star Equipment. Iowa born in 1968. StarEquip.com.
At Nationwide, our agents go above and beyond to understand and protect what matters most to you. Our local Nationwide agents are part of our member-driven community, where serving members' needs is our priority. Contact True North Personal Lines at itruenorth.com today. Nationwide is on your side. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio. Subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval.
Got a poll question for you today at KGYMradio.com, brought to you by our friends at Emil's Hideaway. And as you may imagine, it has to do with the ongoing American League Championship Series. Who will the Dodgers face in the World Series this year, Houston or New York? You can vote now, KGYMradio.com, and check out Emil's Hideaway. They're located on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot in Cedar Rapids. Did Dusty Baker get a fair shake? 319-366-1600. Other managerial news, it sounds like Manny Acta interviewed well with the New York Mets, a name that hadn't been being discussed too much. Speaking of Washington Nationals managers, Manny Acta had a stint with the Nationals that wasn't exactly very memorable, but he also did a decent job with the Cleveland Indians. He's sort of a guy that is adept at working with young teams and trying to get them on the precipice of success and going to the postseason. And I don't necessarily know whether that would be a great hire for New York or not. I'm interested in seeing especially what happens with Ron Gardenhire now that he's been officially announced as the manager in Detroit. How many of his former Twins coaches will maybe be on his staff there? And something for Minnesota Twins fans to keep an eye on: Mike Maddox, who was a longtime pitching coach in Texas with Thad Levine, was on Dusty Baker's staff in Washington, and so now that he is most likely out of a job, maybe he's in the mix suddenly for the Minnesota Twins pitching coach job, which remains open, which that'd be a tremendous hire. Mike Maddox is one of the best pitching coaches in all of baseball.
Is it just me, or is the open managerial positions, or excuse me, the manager market right now a little bit weak? I mean, you see usually during the off season there are some names that are being floated around and some household names. You think a few years back where where Terry Francona was on the market, and Cleveland and St. Louis were talking about bringing him in, but just not many names out there right now.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the more successful guys are either employed right now or they're well past the age of retirement. A guy like a Jim Leland or a Tony La Russa, Bobby Cox, they're not coming back to the dugout anytime
soon.
That's
true.
So you're left with retreads like Manny Acta, or you take a flyer on a young up-and-comer like Alex Cora, which the Red Sox are rumored to be contemplating. Let's send it back to the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Kyle Mann's got your first Midwest One Bank Big Board update of the night. Midwest One, where you're the one.
24/7 Sports released the midseason update to its top 247, which ranks the top players in all of college football. The highest ranked player from the state of Iowa was Iowa State cornerback Brian Peavy, ranked 106th, followed closely by Cyclone running back David Montgomery at 108, as well as receiver Alan Lazard coming in at 139. The lone Hawkeye is linebacker Josie Jewell at 129. Class of 2018 Ohio linebacker Michael Rose was in attendance for Iowa State's 45-0 victory over Kansas last weekend, and it must have made quite an impression on him because yesterday he flipped his commitment from Ball State to the Cyclones. Rose is 6'4" and 220 pounds and ranked as a three-star recruit by 24/7 Sports. The Rough Riders are off to a 1-2 start on the new season, and they're trying to get back to 500 tonight against the Lincoln Stars. That'll be at 7:05 at the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena. Tonight after the show, we're going to have some high school football, including a big one out at Prairie. Scott Unash will be on the call as the Prairie Hawks host Kennedy with a playoff spot for the winner of that game on 1600 AM and 107.5 FM, the North Gym. We'll also have Davenport North and Iowa City at City High. Alex Kuhn will call that one on 106.3 FM, the South Gym. And tomorrow, we'll have the Cyclones at Texas Tech on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, as well as our KGYM Iowa pre- and post-game shows on those FM frequencies. And if necessary, we will carry Game 7 of the ALCS on all three frequencies.
Did you talk to your brother last night after the game? What did he have to say?
I did, and he said told me to stop texting my dad during the game.
Why?
I don't know. He says that I will say this. He's lucky that someone like me doesn't play on his team or isn't near the team, because I get a little wound up and overreact a little bit when I watch the games.
I was following your Twitter feed last night, and you would have thought that the world was coming to an end. And then
makes sense.
Then I caught the end of the game, and I thought, holy cow, they actually wound up coming back to win. I wonder how he feels about some of those in the heat of the moment tweets.
Not great.
Not great. That's why I try not to, and I do a very poor job of this sometimes, but I try not to tweet during games that I'm emotionally invested in.
I always
Nothing
tell myself
good comes of
exactly.
that.
I always tell myself not to do it, and then I do it, and then I feel bad about doing it. But maybe one of these days I'll learn. I think I learned my lesson, hopefully.
The Big Ten, at least on the men's side of things, in the hoops world, going to a 20-game schedule beginning in 2018. Good idea, bad idea? We'll ask Myron Metcalf of ESPN.com as he joins the program next. He was in New York at Big Ten Media Day yesterday. Stick around. It's the Todd Brolkamp Show with Alex Kuhn as the KGYM road trip, driven by Linder Tire, continues after this.
The Zillow Show, weekdays at 1 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. The Dodgers are waiting for a team to play in the World Series. Game 6 of the ALCS tonight in Houston, with the Yankees leading the Astros 3-2. We've got the game starting at 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Justin Verlander for Houston, Luis Severino for New York. Dusty Baker is out as Nationals manager after two seasons during which the team won two division titles. Baker's contract will not be renewed. In both seasons, the Nats lost at home in Game 5 of the division series, last year to the Dodgers, this year to the Cubs. The Tigers will not pick up the $16 million option for next year on right-hander Anibal Sanchez. From the NBA, Rockets point guard Chris Paul will likely be out 2 to 4 weeks with a bruised left knee. Paul first hurt that knee in the preseason. Pacers center Miles Turner will miss at least two games. He is now in the NBA's concussion protocol. ESPN delivers a Friday night doubleheader starting at 7 Eastern. Cavaliers and Bucks in Milwaukee, followed by the Warriors and Pelicans in New Orleans.
Experience why for nearly a century men have trusted Barbasol for a close, comfortable shave. Whether it's extra moisturizing with vitamin E or soothing aloe, all you have to do is sit back and bask in the glory of your close shave. You're looking good, America. You're shaving with Barbasol.
AutoZone presents the oil change. Regular oil changes protect your engine from wear and tear, helping your car roll well beyond the 100,000-mile mark. Right now, get any 5 quarts of Pennzoil full synthetic or high-mileage motor oil and an STP filter for $17.99 after $20 prepaid Visa card by mail and rebate. So visit your local AutoZone. With over 5,000 locations, the right supplies and good advice are just around the corner. Let's get you what you need. See store for restrictions and details.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
And now, a page from the Diary of Flo.
Dear Diary, I got the brush off again. I don't get it. Is there something wrong with the way I wave? Elbow wrist. Why won't that little basset hound acknowledge me? I'm friendly. I give everyone peace of mind when I protect their homes through Progressive. He should be jumping for joy when I walk by.
Save an average of 17% on car insurance when you bundle home and auto through Progressive.
Maybe it's me. No, it's him.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Hi, this is Tiki Barber. My football career taught me the importance of being prepared for game time. And now that I own multiple businesses, being prepared means having capital when I need it. That's where Cabbage comes in with flexible lines of credit of up to $150,000. Apply online and get a decision right away. Withdraw funds when you need them without reapplying. Cabbage has supported over 100,000 small businesses. Get started at cabbage.com/gametime or 888-CABBAGE. That's Cabbage with a K, 888-CABBAGE.
Line of credit is subject to credit approval. See terms and conditions.
Sometimes the best seats in the house are above it. In college football, that's the Goodyear blimp. And for more than 60 years, we've seen what it takes to be worthy. It takes toughness, dedication, and perseverance. Because seasons aren't measured by wins and losses, but by heart. Some call it hard work, determination, or grit. We call it blimp worthy. Goodyear, official sponsor of the college football playoff.
At Ferguson, service is our most important part. So if service is the part you're missing from your supply house, come into one of our 600 nationwide locations and let our team help yours. Whether it's tracking down those hard-to-find parts, having your order ready and waiting at our will call, or helping you manage your inventory with our SKU app and online ordering, the edge every trade professional needs is right around the corner. And with Ferguson Pro Plus, you'll earn redeemable points with every online purchase. Come into one of our locations or visit Ferguson.com today.
Welcome back in, 4:36 as we make our way towards 7 o'clock tonight. Hour number one underway here at the Todd Brolenkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. It's the KGYM Road Trip driven by Linder Tire. LinderTire.com, keep them in mind as the season begins to change from fall to winter. Grinnell, North Liberty, and Iowa City, there are three locations to serve you best. Big show on the way today. Jack Dom stopping by in hour number two to talk a little baseball with us. We got Love It or Leave It coming as well. And then 6 o'clock hour tonight, the big hour brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Former Hawkeye punter Ron Caluzzi stops by. He'll chat Hawkeyes and Wildcats as Iowa hits the road for Evanston this weekend. Joining me and Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com. Right now we're going to bring our first guest of the afternoon on with us. The last time that we saw him, he was a fish out of water at Big Ten Football Media Day, but I have a feeling he was a little bit more comfortable yesterday in New York City at Big Ten Basketball Media Day. It's Myron Medcalf of ESPN.com. Myron, the Big Ten is going to a 20-game schedule, conference schedule next year. Good idea or bad idea?
I think it's just something you have to do, just given that we're in a situation where if you're the Big Ten or the ACC, which is now a 20-game, you're trying to get as many teams into the NCAA tournament as possible, and I think, you know, this obviously will help with that. Two conference games versus two bye games. It's going to be interesting to see how the postseason tournament is received a week before Champ Week at Madison Square Garden. Will they kind of get lost in that kind of season-ending mix? Or will they have sort of a unique platform given that they're the only ones doing it during that time period. Plus, they're moving some games to early December conference games. So I think the Big Ten is going to be it'll be interesting to see how they navigate it all. But at the end of the day, adding a couple of conference games, I think that only helps the league overall.
Myron, you lead me right to my next question. What are your thoughts on the Big Ten trying to expand their footprint eastbound? We saw last year was the tournament was in Washington, D.C., Media Days, and now the conference tournament will be in New York City this year. Jim Delaney says it might be in Philadelphia in years to come. What are your thoughts on it trying to expand? Is this a good idea?
I mean, as a fan, it's just weird. I mean, I'm a Wisconsin guy. I grew up in Milwaukee, so, you know, I remember the Big Ten as sort of a Midwest conference, right? Even Penn State was sort of an odd addition when they came into the league. Nebraska, when that happened, didn't make a ton of sense to the people who are used to sort of the traditional Big Ten. But I think in 2017, it's all about TV revenue and what they can generate, and, you know, they want to expand the footprint of not just the Big Ten, but also the Big Ten Network. They want to be a national conference. And I think, you know, no league has done that the way that the Big Ten and Jim Delaney have done that. So it makes sense from the TV standpoint. I don't know how relevant the teams have been on the East Coast. I mean, Maryland has been up and down. Rutgers has been a non-factor. Penn State hasn't really done a whole lot. So I think the next thing is, okay, you're putting the games on the East Coast, but do you have teams over there that can make this thing more interesting? Because that's when you really have a national footprint, is when teams are competitive throughout the league. And for the most part, that hasn't happened in the Big Ten. But you know, overall, it's still a little weird for me to think of this thing, this tournament, not being anywhere but Indianapolis and Chicago.
Can Miles Bridges carry Michigan State to another Big Ten championship? And if not, who are some of the teams that you think could legitimately challenge for that number one spot this year?
Yeah, I think Miles Bridges can, and I think he will. To me, it's hard to find another player better than Miles Bridges. You can certainly say he's the best player in America entering the season. And I was just talking to a bunch of guys at the event, and I'm like, you know, how much better can he get? Like, what else can he really do? This is a guy who was a legit lottery pick after last year and decides to come back. So I just think he has so many gifts and tools. You know, to be that size and to make 39% of his threes, to be that ferocious rebounder, a good defender. Now you have Jaren Jackson 6'10". Now you have all these guys who were hurt last year are going to be available for Tom Izzo this season. So I think Michigan State is far and away the best team in the league. Minnesota will be good again. They're bringing mostly everybody back. Losing Eric Curry to a season-ending knee injury will hurt. But they still got, you know, Amir Coffey and Nate Mason and Reggie Lynch and all their key pieces from last year for the most part. They'll be a legit threat, maybe, for Michigan State. At the very least, I think they'll be a threat at that number two spot. Purdue is still going to be a good team, I think. Maryland's interesting with Justin Jackson. Mark Turgeon said he'll probably play Justin Jackson anywhere from 2, 3, or 4. That's a 6'7 kid who can do a lot of things. I think he could make that interesting. Mo Wagner at Michigan coming back, that could be an interesting team as well. Then Northwestern that everyone's sort of forgetting about. Yeah, it was their first NCAA tournament, but that team is back. And they're going to make it hard on a lot of people in this league. So I think those five or six teams, I didn't put Wisconsin in there, but Ethan Happ is still one of the five best players in America. Those I think are the teams that will be in the mix, but Michigan State to me is by far the front runner.
Myron, you brought up the question that I was wondering about Miles Bridges. How shocked were you when you found out he was coming back for his sophomore year, and can his NBA stock really get much higher?
Yeah, I was very shocked. You just don't see guys coming back when they're sort of locked in as lottery picks. NBA wants guys who can shoot, who are versatile, who can guard multiple positions. I thought Miles Bridges proved that last year with what he did. But I talked to Tom Izzo about it. He said that Miles talked to Magic Johnson, and Magic Johnson told him, look, as a freshman at Michigan State, I could have been the number one pick. I stayed my sophomore season, won a national title, and then I was still the number one pick. And I think that had a big impact on Miles Bridges making his decision. But the difference this year will be, I think everyone will scrutinize him in ways they didn't last year. When you're a freshman, people just love everything about you. You know, you're such a surprise. Everything is so fresh. when you're a sophomore in this one-and-done era, people are going to grade everything he does. Ask Grayson Allen about that. So coming back could help him if he's better. Again, I don't know how much better he can become, but if he duplicates last season, he'll still be a top 10 pick. I think the greater likelihood, especially in such a strong class, is that a bunch of guys kind of become the it guys in college basketball and their stock rises and his stock falls slightly. But he's still a first-round pick for sure, probably a lottery pick. You just wonder how he's going to handle the scrutiny.
ESPN's Myron Metcalf joining us on a Friday edition of the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. You're not talking a whole lot about Fran McCaffrey and the Hawkeyes. What do you think may hold them back in the Big Ten this year?
Well, the defense has to improve dramatically, I think, if you want to have a real conversation about Iowa. I mean, I think this is a team that you gave them a lot of passes last year because they were so young, which is fair. You know, a lot of teams would have struggled with that youth, but I think they improved in different areas over the course of the season. They looked really bad, obviously, early in non-conference season, but they pulled off some impressive wins in Big Ten play, beating teams like Michigan, beating Purdue. So, you know, they can obviously, at their best, could compete at the top levels, but now you lose Peter Jacques, and you wonder defensively more than anything, can they improve in that area, and then how do they make up for the loss of a guy like Peter? Hooplands.com is a site that allows you to play with different matchups. When Peter wasn't on the floor last season, Iowa averaged 1.02 points per possession. It was 1.1 with Peter on the floor. That's a big, big jump. The biggest jump is probably at the free throw line. When he was off the floor, they shot 61.5% from the free throw line. When he was on the floor, they shot as a team 71.5% from the free throw line. He's a big loss, I think, for that team. But I think those guys being a year older, a lot of the young guys on that team, Nicholas Baer and Tyler Cook and all some of those talented kids who are coming back, it will be interesting to see how they gel together. And then can they get off to a better start? I think last year's start really shook that team up. Can they get some momentum early and carry that into the Big Ten season? I think that's one of the bigger questions.
Myron, I know you're close to the action there in Minneapolis. How often is Richard Pitino getting questions about his dad?
You know, he didn't get many of them yesterday at Big Ten Media Day. I thought he would have, but he really didn't. He got a couple of them. You know, Rich is such a gigantic figure in college basketball, and Richard is still a fairly young coach, so he's faced a little bit of the, you know, what's going on with your dad, what do you think, but he's his own man, and I think he's obviously proven that. The name is the name, and now it's kind of, there are pros and cons to having the Pitino name, but he's also a guy who took a really poor Minnesota team that had been struggling for a number of years to the NCAA tournament. Now he's bringing a team back that a lot of people think can compete for the Big Ten championship. So I think that's been the focus up here more than anything. But he's obviously commented about Rick. Yesterday he told me, you know, Rick's still my hero. My dad's still my hero. And that was really all he said about it. He hasn't gotten into any of the particulars or specifics.
Who's a good Cinderella to keep an eye on in college basketball this year, Myron? I know as big of a basketball fan as you are, you got to have one in the back of your mind coming into the season.
Of any league?
Yeah, just throw a dart.
Yeah, see, it's hard to pick a Cinderella. I mean, St. Mary's isn't a Cinderella because they're going to be really good. But I think Jock Landale, if you look at St. Mary's and who they have coming back, could not only win the West Coast Conference, but I think could also make a run to the national championship. I mean, they have one of the better front courts in America. Play in a little town in California, so a lot of people, you know, only notice them when they play Gonzaga, and they've rarely played a really strong non-conference schedule. But to me, St. Mary's is one of those teams where, you know, pay close attention to them and Jock Landale, just given how talented I think he is and what he's capable of doing. I think in the league, in the Big Ten, Maryland is an interesting team to me with Justin Jackson and how much I think he can improve from his first year to his second year. So that's a squad to watch as well.
Byron, a lot of people are talking about how these FBI investigations into college basketball recruiting could affect the sport in the long term. Do you think there will be any visible effects in the short term?
Well, I just think we'll lose more coaches. I mean, I don't think this thing is over. Clearly, the FBI made a statement when they said, we have your playbook. And there have been a lot of rumblings that more arrests will come. So the immediate thing will be what we saw with Arizona and the Quinterly kid decommitting. I think you're going to see top recruits distance themselves from some of these programs that are involved in this. And I think that will be the immediate backlash, like a Louisville that had some of these top players coming in the last couple of years. It's going to be hard for them to get a five-star kid. It's going to be hard for Arizona, hard for USC and some of these other teams, because people aren't going to want their kids to play for a team that has that cloud kind of hanging over them. So I think that'll be the short-term impact. Long-term, the NBA and college basketball and everybody involved has to have a serious conversation about whether or not 18-year-olds should be allowed to go pro, because I think that will eliminate some of this drama. If the high school kids who are ready to play in the NBA were allowed to do that, I think you'd have fewer issues with some of these situations with agents and money exchanging hands.
I know you were watching that Memphis-Houston game last night. What'd you think of the finish there, Myron? Did we lose Myron? Myron,
yeah,
you got us?
I'm still here. I lost you for a second. I'm still here.
Oh, my apologies. We were going to shift to football for just a few minutes before we said goodbye to you, but I noticed you were watching the Memphis-Houston game last night. I wanted your thoughts on the finish there.
It's crazy. I mean, it's crazy, and that's what I love about college football is, you know, Memphis is, they were down, 17 at one point on the road, and they just kept punching it in. And to me, what I love about football is that it's really not over. In basketball, if you're down 25, college basketball, it's probably over in the second half. But, I mean, with football, it's just a couple of plays. And I thought Memphis showed a lot of resilience. And they've been an impressive team in that group of five with Norvell and just that coach. I don't know how he lasts beyond this year just because someone else is going to try to grab him and pay him a bunch of money. But I just love that finale, and I think that speaks to, you know, the greatness of college football. I'm pumped to watch football this weekend.
How are P.J. Fleck's struggles in his first year being received in the Twin Cities?
Well, what he's preached, it was really smart of him before the season, is I've got to rebuild the culture. Now, remember, this is the Minnesota team that won 9 games last year. So, you know, it's not like you had to rebuild from scratch, but he was really selling that early on. I've got to implement my culture. So I think people give him some room to do that. At the same time, when you look at the Michigan State game, it's like those are the games you have to win. And if you don't save, you know, your best effort for the final minutes, if you bring that consistently throughout the entire game, all of a sudden you beat a team like Michigan State. And that has to be the difference for this team. I think there are a lot of people who are disappointed in that loss. I think obviously there are some positive signs with Demaryius Crofts, the quarterback, doing what he did. But I think the sort of salesman pitch, people are ready to see if he can win in moments like he had Saturday. But he'll get this entire season to make whatever mistakes or whatever he has to deal with. It's a matter of the coming years. Can he back up the talk? Because clearly there are some people who think he's just talk. But he's also proven himself in other places. So I think the jury's still out.
It's always a busy time of year for those of us in this business, Myron. Football going on, basketball getting ready to start up. Thanks for taking the time to join us.
Thank you.
Myron Metcalf of ESPN. You can hear him on ESPN Radio as well, covering college basketball and college football. And interesting thoughts there, especially going back to the beginning of the conversation. And then if you want to have a real conversation, I like that. You want to have a real conversation about Iowa and men's basketball this year, they got to play better defense. And I think that's something that really still didn't get talked a whole lot about at Media Day, both Iowa Media Day and yesterday at Big Ten Media Day. The focus is on the depth and the length, although I do think that the added length is going to help them on the defensive end. That seems to be where Fran McCaffrey's teams have their Achilles heel year in and year out. But hard to believe we'll be talking Hawkeye basketball before you know it. Jack Dom is going to be with us coming up in about 30 minutes or so, his weekly segment touching all bases. I see Jack just walking in the door here at Coach's Corner Sports Pub. Stop on in, 749 Mormon Trek Boulevard. Happy hour well underway. $2.50 domestic bottles and $2 domestic pints. When we come back, Kyle Mann's going to have another Midwest One Bank Big Board update for you. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way on all three KGYM frequencies back after this.
At Nationwide, our agents go above and beyond to understand and protect what matters most to you. Our local Nationwide agents are part of our member-driven community, where serving members' needs is our priority. Contact True North Personal Lines at itruenorth.com today. Nationwide is on your side. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio. Subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval.
Let's visit your folks in Florida over winter break.
Good idea.
I'm checking fares from the Quad City International Airport. They have nonstop Allegiant flights to the Fort Myers area starting December 15th. Ooh, that's perfect. The kids can swim and you and your dad can play golf.
What about you?
Oh, I'll be shopping with your mom, talking about how lucky you two are to have such spectacular wives.
Plan your Florida getaway to Fort Myers or four other Allegiant destinations at qcairport.com. The Quad City International Airport, making travel easier.
The KGYM Road Trip comes to you live with the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. It's your chance to hang out while we're broadcasting and get your hands on some swag from the gym and other prizes. Want to know when it's happening? Find the road trip schedule at KGYMradio.com. The KGYM Road Trip, live from the Coach's Corner Sports Pub, Mormon Trek Boulevard in Iowa City. Driven by Linder Tire Service. Linder Tire keeps you rolling during all your road trips. Visit LinderTire.com for great tire and service specials.
Welcome back. Hour number one, almost in the rearview mirror. Remember, we've still got that $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill that we're going to be able to put into the hands of one of our lucky listeners today. They've got three locations, one in Marion and two in Cedar Rapids, including one across from the U.S. Cellular Center and their newest location in the Fountains off Edgewood. LaCantina319.com is the website to check out before you go, and keep them in mind for your next business meeting, family gathering, or even tailgate. La Cantina gift card on the way for you coming up sometime in hour number two. Right now, back on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, just itching to give you, they make an ointment for that, by the way, Kyle Mann itching to give you another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
24/7 Sports released the midseason update to its top 247, which ranks the top players in all of college football. The highest-ranked player from the state of Iowa was Iowa State cornerback Brian Peavy, ranked 106th, followed closely by Cyclone running back David Montgomery at 108, as well as receiver Alan Lazard coming in at 139. The lone Hawkeye is linebacker Josie Jewell at 129. Class of 2018 Ohio linebacker Michael Rose was in attendance for Iowa State's 45-0 victory over Kansas last weekend, and it must have made quite an impression on him because yesterday he flipped his commitment from Ball State to the Cyclones. Rose is 6'4 and 220 pounds and ranked a three-star recruit by 24/7 Sports. The Rough Riders are off to a 1-2 start on the new season, and they're trying to get back to 500 tonight against the Lincoln Stars. That's at 7:05 at the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena. Tonight after the show, we're going to have some high school football, including a big one out at Prairie. Scott Unash will be on the call as the Prairie Hawks host Kennedy with a playoff spot for the winner of that game. That's on 1600 AM and 107.5 FM, the North Gym. We'll also have Davenport North in Iowa City at City High. Alex Kuhn will call that one on 106.3 FM, the South Gym. And tomorrow, we'll have the Cyclones at Texas Tech on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, as well as our KGYM Iowa pre- and post-game shows on those FM frequencies. And if necessary, we will carry Game 7 of the ALCS on all three frequencies.
Justin Verlander throwing for Houston tonight, and Luis Severino going for the Yankees. I have a feeling we're going to see Game 7, but don't quote me on it. Love It or Leave It is coming up next. 10 topics, Alex and I. We'll go back and forth. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn right here on KGYM. Back with more in hour number two after this.